Over and over we keep saying the same thing. I do believe that repetition is the mother of learning. Yes, it can happen. I've seen it happen in a lot of different industries. For example, in 1986, the Indianapolis Colts had lost 13 consecutive games. They brought in a new coach named Ron Meyer. Zero changed. I mean, they had exactly the same players, but they won the last three games. And in 1987, they were in the playoffs. One man with a greater expectancy, a new attitude, new enthusiasm, injected it into the team, and the net result was rather dramatic. Now, let me emphasize something, though. If you only have enthusiasm, then eventually that's going to burn out. Somebody said enthusiasm is like running in the dark. You might get there, but you also might get killed on the way. Enthusiasm, however, if it has direction based on information and knowledge, enthusiasm can be the greatest thing on the face of this earth. It really can make a dramatic difference in your life. The statement, if you do not live the life you believe, you will believe the life you live, is far more than a cliche. Every action you take and every thought you put into your mind is going to have its effect. How many of you in this live audience would be honest enough to admit that in times gone past, there have been those days when you hadn't developed real stinking thinking, but you did have a mild case of being down a little bit? Have you ever had a situation like that? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about depression, but you just were not having your best days. Has that ever happened to you? I suspect that it's happened to every human being alive. Well, let me give you a quick fix with such a thing. Now, it involves a little humor and having a little fun, but let's say you're a little down and somebody says, how you doing? Here's what I suggest that you do. I suggest that you look at your watch and you say, well, after 1:30, I'm going to be doing magnificently well. And they say, well, what happens at 1:30? Well, at 1:30, I'm going to develop the most amazing, beautiful attitude you've ever seen in your life. Man, I'm going to be feeling good at 1:30. Well, now what's going to happen? Oh, nothing special. I've just decided that at 1:30, I'm really going to be feeling good. I'm going to be up. I'm going to be enthusiastic. I'm going to be excited. Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You don't feel real good now, but at 1:30, that's 2.5 hours away. You're going to be feeling real good. That's exactly right. Well, now, let me ask you a question. If you're going to be feeling good at 1:30, why don't you go ahead and feel good now? Oh, no, nope. I have worked hard for this misery. I deserve to have a little bit of it. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. I'm going to enjoy my misery until 1:30. But then, man alive, I'm going to enjoy being enthusiastic. Your friend might persist and say, well, now, do you have to stay on it until 1:30? You might compromise and say, well, tell you what I'll do. I'll move it up to 1 o'clock, but not a minute sooner, I have decided. Now, you might say, Ziegler, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. And I agree with you. It is so silly. But I'll absolutely guarantee you that it absolutely will work. It is a way to develop instant enthusiasm. Next step to develop some instant enthusiasm, which is the key eventually to building that winning attitude, is reverse the way you get out of bed. Now, I don't mean get out of bed backwards, but you know how most people get out of bed? The opportunity clock sounds off in the morning, and they reach over there and they finally find the bell and they shut it off. Then they lay there for a second or two and they slap their faces. Oh, hon, is it time to get up already? Seem like we just lay down. Boy, we got to get to bed earlier tonight. Now, a lot of people start every day like that. But if you want to develop instant enthusiasm, if you have got to do something early in the morning and you want to be on your tiptoes when you do it, the next time that opportunity clock sounds off and you need that instant enthusiasm, just reach over and shut it off. I think that's important. Then you sit straight up in bed and you slap your hands and you say, oh boy, it's a great day to get up and go get them. Now, I want you to get this picture. There you are on the side of your bed. You're slapping your hands like an 8-year-old. Your hair's all down in your face. And you're half missing your hand some of the time. And you're saying, oh boy, it's a great day to get up and go get them. And I'll tell you, you'll never tell a bigger one than that one. But you are up. And that's where you wanted to be when you set the clock. Let me tell you something very significant. When the clock sounds off, you do not decide to get up. You decided that when you set the clock the night before. Now, when the clock sounds off, then you decide, how am I going to get up? Now you make the choice. Now, as you sit there on the side of the bed slapping your hand, let me remind you, you are where you wanted to be when you set the clock the night before. You are up. It also means that you are in control. Now, when you're there on the side of your bed, it's doubly beneficial if you're married, if you and your mate both do exactly the same thing. Then, if you've got a mirror in front of you so you can see how totally ridiculous you look, it is a one-act comedy in full living color, and I'll guarantee you cannot see it and not almost get hysterical. I mean, it is so funny. And you know what the beautiful thing about it? You know who you'll be laughing at? Yourself, which is the first sign, really, of a good, healthy self-image. Long as you can laugh at you, it doesn't bother you when other people laugh at you. But let me emphasize a point. You're digging a lot deeper psychologically than you think you are. See, when you sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Now, I might say, but Zig, I've got small children, and they're sound asleep. Or my mate's going to be there sound asleep. And if I get up and start slapping my hands, man, you might see me in divorce court somewhere. Or she might have me, or he might have me confined from here on in. What do you do under circumstances like that? Answer is very simple. When you get up on the side of the bed, you, instead of slapping your hands and letting them meet, you make certain they miss. And then you give a silent cheer. I mean, you sit there on the bed giving that silent. You say, now, Zig, come on, man. Let me tell you something, friend. If you want to be laughing at yourself and develop instant enthusiasm, I'll absolutely guarantee you it works. You go in the bath and you take a shower, and you sing while you're taking the shower. Now, don't give me this baloney about you can't sing. Listen, Mitch Miller wrote me a personal letter asking me not even to bother to sing along with. So don't give me this routine, you know, about you can't sing. William James of Harvard said, you do not sing because you're happy. You're happy because you sing. That's right. And then, fellas, on your behalf, in case you're the one doing it, if you really want to get the day off right, when you go into breakfast, I know you've had bacon, eggs, and grits every day for the last 287 days. But today, when you sit down at the table, whatever it is, you slap your hands and you say, honey, I was hoping this is what we were going to have for breakfast today. Ah! Now, let me emphasize a point. I do not recommend this for everyday activities, but if you want to generate enthusiasm, remember, athletes warm up. When I play golf, I hit a few balls on the practice tee before I go to the course. What you're doing is you're warming up to go out there and do a better job that day. Psychologically, you're sound. William James said that if you want to change your life, you do it flamboyantly and you start immediately. On sound grounds is what we're talking about. How you get up in the morning determines, in many cases, how far you go up in life. Does something else, too. It will start you on the path of killing procrastination. So many times people just never do anything. They're going to do it tomorrow. Somebody once said, we do not stop working and playing because we grow old, but we grow old because we stop working and playing. This lets you have the fun. It lets you get that instant enthusiasm. Now, those are instant things that you can do. But if you want to develop permanent enthusiasm, something that you will depend on for here on in, there are some things that you can do that will make a dramatic difference. Let me ask you as a question in the live audience. And those of you listening to the recording, if you will, you answer the question to yourself. How many of you had anything to eat last month? Can I see your hands? How about last week? How about yesterday? Have any of you had anything to eat today? As a matter of fact, you know what we do? We make absolutely certain that we feed our stomach 3 times a day. It has been my observation that anytime anybody gets too busy and they miss a meal, listen, that is a monumental occasion. And they tell everybody within earshot, man, I was so busy yesterday, I didn't have time to eat lunch. I said I didn't have time to eat lunch, man. Pay attention. I mean, it is a big deal. They do a fast halo adjustment, you know, as they're in the process. Oh, am I ever dedicated to what I'm doing? I didn't have time to eat. Now, you ask the same people, when is the last time you fed your mind on the same regular basis? And I say, huh? You know, interesting fact, from the neck up, there's absolutely no limit to what you can accomplish. From the neck down, about $300 a week is the maximum we're capable of earning. And yet we feed the $300 a week part three times a day, and we do not feed the unlimited part except on rare occasions. Think about it, and it doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our mind growled like our stomach does when it needs some food? Unfortunately, it does not. So we have to get on a schedule to do that. In your home, the odds are about 4,000 to 1. You got a bedroom in it. You got a bathroom in it. You got a kitchen in it. What you have done is provided for your physical needs. But what kind of room do you have in there to prepare for your mental and emotional needs? If it makes sense to take care of the physical, it makes even more sense to take care of the mental. Don't misunderstand. I've got a bedroom and a bathroom and a kitchen in my house too. But we also have a place to take care of the mental aspect and the spiritual aspect of our lives. Because if we feed this, we will have so much better chance of accomplishing the things in life. You know, interestingly enough, I've never met anybody who says, you know, I am so hungry, I am about to starve. I don't know what I can do about it. And there you are in the grocery store. Obviously, when we're physically hungry, we know that we ought to get something to eat. I've never yet had anybody say to me, Zeke, I know you're so busy. Man, when on earth do you ever have time to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? They've never asked the question. They know it's on the schedule. But feeding the mind also needs to be on the schedule. The question comes up, does success make you positive or does positive make you successful? I've had people say, man, if I made $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, I'd be enthusiastic too. Well, they got it backwards. If they were enthusiastic and had the right attitude, then chances are superb that the income would be there. Now, let me say it again, because sometimes somebody might only hear this one. There's a vast difference in standard of living and quality of life. See, I'm not talking about just standard of living. All the way through, I am talking about quality of life. I've known some people who made $1 million a year who were failures. I mean, absolute failures. And I know some who never made $10,000 in their entire lifetime, whom I consider to be very, very successful. I want to emphasize the reason I'm going to talk about feeding the mind so much is we learn things consciously, but we will never do them well until we learn to do them subconsciously or instinctively. How many of you, for example, remember when you learned how to drive? How many of you learned to drive in a car that has a clutch in it? Can I see your hand? You remember the experience, don't you? How you would give yourself instructions. Now you mash in the clutch. Now you shift the gear. Now you feed the accelerator. Now you let on the clutch. Look out, look out, look out! I mean, all of a sudden, it starts bucking and jumping, and you're a menace to society, weren't you? Then a few weeks later, you were able to push in the clutch, shift the gear, mash the accelerator, let on the clutch, roll down the window, wave at your neighbor, all at the same time, in complete safety, because you had moved it from the conscious to the subconscious. Attitude can be the same way. You can reach that point where you learn to instinctively respond to the negative by having enough of the mind food, which does make a difference. We did a little study on this, and the figures will change, and it'll vary from one section of the country to the other. But the average white-collar worker in our country invests about $200 a year dressing up the outside of his head. Now, that shaves, haircut, and gook for the guys. And that is beauty parlor treatments and cosmetics for the ladies. Now, this is a little disproportionate. The women will spend considerably more than the men. The average white-collar worker will spend about $2,000 a year on clothing. That's to buy the clothing, keep them neat, keep them clean, and keep them in repair. Well, they understand that you cannot, or that it's difficult to climb the ladder of success dressed in the costume of failure. And so they invest that money in their appearance, and that is also important. The average person who drives 12,000 miles a year, who swaps automobiles every 3 years, and who uses a mid-sized car, will spend or invest a little over $4,000 a year in the car. That's to buy it, depreciate it, insure it, repair it, and gas and oil it. Now, what you've got with that investment is you've got a well-groomed worker, you have got a well-dressed worker, and you've got a mobile worker. Now, doesn't it make sense to then go ahead and invest in personal growth materials so you not only will know what to do when you get to your job, but you'll have the right attitude to do it better when you get there? Does that make any sense to you? That's what I'm talking about right here. You invest a few dollars so you'll know what to do and be inspired to do it when you get there, is really all I'm saying. Now, when do you feed your mind? You feed your mind while you're in your car. One of the greatest sources of education ought to be the automobile. I was a visiting scholar at the University of Southern California for 2 years. While there, I learned of a study they had done. They discovered that if you live in a metropolitan area and drive 12,000 miles a year, that in 3 years' time in your car, you can acquire the equivalent of 2 years of college education while you are in your car. Many times people invest $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, even $40,000 in an automobile and then gripe and raise sand every time they have to drive across town in traffic. They rant and rave and fuss about it, when in reality, it's one of the greatest educational opportunities you will ever have. I'm going to make a statement, and you might think it's an exaggeration. I promise it is not. If I could not replace the cassette recorders, which I have, $100,000 cash would not buy them. I think that highly of them. I had rather have a 5-year-old compact automobile with a tape deck in it if I had to do my own driving, which I do, than a luxury car brand new without the tape deck in it and didn't have the privilege of getting a cassette player to take with me. I've never felt as strongly about anything from an educational, motivational point of view as I do about this particular thing. In your automobile, you can learn about time management, Chinese art, foreign language, people and money management skills. You can learn how to listen, to communicate, to set goals, to close sales. You can learn the Bible. You can learn to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother. The list is absolutely endless as to what you can learn while you're in that automobile of yours. When the family is there, you can bring the family so much closer together. John Walker, psychiatrist from New Braunfels, Texas, was visiting with me when I spoke down in San Antonio. We had a chance to spend quite a few minutes together. John said that there are a couple of factors that are fringe benefits that come from this. If you've got the family together, then the whole family begins to share the same interest and the same goals. A fringe benefit also is the fact that so many of our youngsters today never hear really clear English being spoken. So much of the garbage on television and so much of the screaming in the music tapes, and they never really learn how to communicate because they never hear what is being said. And when you have a series of articulate speakers who express themselves well, not only do you get the benefit of the lesson they're teaching, but you get the benefit of the communication skills which go with it. Second step, in order to really grow on a steady basis, is to learn to read. Not only to learn to read, but to learn to love to read. I'll always be grateful to Mrs. Warren, Miss White, Miss Street, Ms. Mosley, Miss Annie Ellis, because they taught me to read. But the one I remember the most is Mrs. Worley. The others played a role which is tremendously important in my life. Mrs. Warren particularly, my first grade teacher. But Mrs. Worley taught me to love to read. Most important thing as far as I am concerned. Did you know that if you will read 20 minutes a day, if you're an average reader, meaning if you read 220 words a minute, if you read 20 minutes a day at the end of the year, you will have read 200-page books, which is 19 more than the average American reads. Ladies and gentlemen, it can make a dramatic difference. If you're studying your company materials and information as it relates to your industry, if you are studying about personal growth and motivation, if you are picking up the things that can be used in your life, it will make such a dramatic difference in your life. There really is no excuse. If you can read at the fifth grade level, there is no excuse for not acquiring an absolutely brilliant education. One other thing, if you will do. If you will, in fact, learn one new word a day. Now, they've got vocabulary books down at the store. Our Reader's Digest every month has a list of words that pays to increase your word power. If you will learn one new word a day, write it down on a 3x5 card. Take that word, use it several times during the course of the day, get the pronunciation exactly right, write out the definition, use it several times that day. I can absolutely assure you that within 5 years, you can talk to just about anybody about just about anything. You really can. It's astonishing what it will do for you. Not because you've got a big vocabulary, but those words give you understanding of the subject that you'd be dealing with. And every word's got a couple of buddies, and those buddies have got buddies. International Paper Company several years ago ran a series of ads which proved, where they had documented the evidence, that your income and your vocabulary had direct correlations. Now, I keep talking about doing these things, and you say, where am I going to find the time? I am overworked at the moment. I'm going to go to my favorite whipping boy, the television, and suggest that you control your television viewing. Did you know that the latest figures show the average American family watches a little over 49 hours of television each week? Did you know that well over half the television we've seen? That's right. We say, well, I'm going to watch The Cosby Show, which is a marvelous show. I saw it for the third time the other night. It is a good program. I like it. I truly do. But we sit down to watch Cosby or some other show, and many shows are marvelous. We watch them, and then we say, well, I wonder what else is on. Then we say, I wonder what's on the other channel. Then we say, well, let's watch this. Next thing you know, we look at our watch, and it's 10 o'clock time for the news. I can't believe I sat here for 4 hours and been watching all of this. Let me encourage you to do one simple thing. On Sunday afternoon, get the TV guide. Look at the programming for the week and decide then what really has interest and value for you. Mark it. Put it on your schedule. Watch it. And then shut the cotton-picking thing off. And do something with your family. Or do something for yourself. It can make such a dramatic difference. You know, the amount of time I'm talking about here to read and to listen and to learn one new word a day. You know how much time I'm talking about? I'm talking about 30 minutes a day. And it'll make a dramatic difference in your life. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This concludes Side 10.